And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about this show is down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Alabama, or Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Coming on the phone now with us is a friend of mine, State Representative Terry Collins. She was first elected as a Republican to the Alabama House, representing District 8 from the Decatur area in 2010, same year I got elected in the Senate, and she has served capably since that time. And she is also, if I'm not mistaken, the chair of the House Education Policy Committee. So what better person to call than Terry Collins to talk about teacher certification rates, what's going on with the praxis exam, and are we in a bad position or not? So without further ado, let me just bring on my friend, State Representative Terry Collins. Terry, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Phil. Thanks for asking me to be on the show today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. And hey, listen, I kind of opened or intro'd the topic briefly before you came on. Seeing right now that of 14 universities in Alabama, according to Mary Sell reporting at Daily News, that 14 universities in Alabama that have an education degree, only six of them have first-time pass rates above 50% for the praxis exam. I mean, what's the deal? Are we in a bad spot here, or what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that we need to continue to be pushing for high-quality education preparation programs at our universities. I know that we've allowed this last year we passed some language that would let both higher education and alternative certification programs come in because we are in a teacher shortage right now. But we want to make sure the teachers are prepared when they get there. And I actually did have a chance last week to go to the state school board meeting, and I heard a little bit more information about the dire reporting of that, some things that were not maybe necessarily included. Is first of all, you looked at those, it looked like they were 50%. Well, that was done in order to get like an elementary degree. You have like four or five praxis you have to take. And so that means that on one of those, they might not have scored. It also does not mean that they've actually had the program yet. It doesn't mean they've gone through that college's program and then take the test. Some of them take the test before they ever started. And so it has a few little caveats that might not have been completely there. But we do want to make sure all our teachers are prepared. And I will say something I've learned at a lot of the conferences I've been to, a lot of the really high-quality groups are much more of an advocate of like an EdTPA testing than a praxis. They believe it actually shows more how you're teaching in the classroom, what your quality is going to be like when you do there, and a little bit more on the content.
Well, so let me ask you this then.
May or may not be the best measuring stick, that makes sense.
But it's okay. Still the measuring stick that we've got right now.
Until
that changes.
Well, it's the measuring stick for some. It's not the one I use for Literacy Act. We require them to use the foundations of reading.
Okay, so that's helpful to know. But
there are some better programs.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Terry. Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
If that's the case right now, that it almost sounds like it's a little bit of a mixed bag. Like, for instance, it may not be relatable, but I think it is. When I graduated law school, uh-huh, I have to graduate law school before I can take the bar exam. In other words, I have to have completed the entire regimen before I can sit for the exam. But I also chose to take bar preparatory courses to help me refresh on things I had done back in year one. Why don't they standardize this testing so that basically students are taking it after the completion and, oh, by the way, maybe have some prep time before they get into the test?
And they could do that. A lot of the programs actually do that. They have a preparation program that they put you in towards the end for the very reasons you said. But what happens is that anybody can pay and take a praxis, and they can assign themselves to any college. So let's say I have a bachelor's degree, and I'm thinking about going back and trying to teach now. Well, I went to the University of Alabama. I could take a praxis just to see if I could pass it and just simply say, oh, I'm with the University of Alabama. even though I've never had a single education course at the University of Alabama.
Okay, but I do have a hard time believing that the vast majority of the people that are doing that are in that boat. I mean, I would say there's some probably that may be influencing a little bit of a percentage, but the reality is it looks like the bulk of teachers who are attempting to take the practice exam are the ones who have already, you know, gotten to that point. They should take it, and yet we're seeing a 53% pass rate.
I think that is correct on that, but that's also that is judged by all of the tests combined. So they may have gotten a 90% on five of the six tests, but on one of the tests, they went ahead to see if they could do their science while they were getting it, and they may have scored just slightly below passing. So it's not, it's, you know, simply just a pass or a fail. It's not a how did they really do. When I was at the state school board last weekend, they knew every single college, and they knew what their student pass rate was, and all of them were above like 70% for the majority of the tests. Now, let me say, I think we really want our teachers doing better than 70% of a pass rate. So do we have work to do? Yes, we do. But I do think that the colleges of education are aware of that, and I'm hopeful that they are truly trying to improve their processes.
Okay, so I guess I'm a little bit confused then. But the bottom line is, for right now, to be certified in education in Alabama, you still have to take the practice exam. That is the standard that is required.
Correct.
And right now, the reporting that we have, you said 70, but the reality is overall we're seeing a 53% pass rate on the first time. And we're seeing somewhere in the neighborhood of 10% of all teachers statewide are teaching without a certification because we're short on certified teachers.
Correct. The last part is true, but I do want you to say the little caveat there is that it's not like 50% of ours are failing all the tests. 50% had at least one test that they did not pass, but they may have taken 3, 4, 5.
I get it, but you still have to pass all of them to get the actual certification. So it's
See, they might have taken one that they weren't going to teach in. Let's say they were going to be a middle school math teacher. Well, they might have gone ahead and taken a science just to see if they could pass it. But they're really just going to be a math teacher. So it is, all I'm saying is that there is a little bit more to this than just 50% are not passing it the first time. But we do need to increase our pass rate. I think, I mean, a lot of the deans of the colleges of education were at the state school board meeting when I was there last week. And they, like you talked about, just like what you said, they're talking about programs that help their teachers prepare better, you know, how they're trying to do better so that their teachers are more prepared when they come out of their program to not only pass the practice exam, but to teach our children in school.
And that's what it boils down to. I mean, like the bar exam for lawyers, law schools take pride in their bar passage rate. And I would hope that universities are taking pride in the number of people that come out of their various programs, education included, and have a first-time pass rate because it indicates that they got a quality education while they were there. So are you saying you think there's going to be more ownership in higher ed on this?
I do. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's what we want to see is that they all – that's the great thing from reporting that comes in and gives us some information. What Mary wrote was exactly accurate, but it wasn't necessarily the whole story about every single pass rate. But it was an accurate thing, and it's gotten all of the universities now sitting up, taking notice, and deciding how they can be better prepare their students, and that's what we want to see at the end of the day.
Well, I agree, and I'm quoting Senator Orr from your area there in Decatur, and of course he chairs the Education Budget Committee. He said, it's terribly disappointing to see students pay good money and then be unable within the first chance to pass the entry test to become a certified teacher. So I think, I'm just spitballing here with you, Terry, but I would say that number one, there needs to be some standardization as to when they take the test. And then secondly, that there needs to be some administration of a preparatory before. They can't just like willy-nilly on a weekend go see how they do. I mean, how about you do your prep, graduate the certification course you need, and then, oh, by the way, take the certification test only after you've met those certain places. Otherwise, you're going to continue to have this kind of willy-nilly, what's the score, who's passed it, and universities don't know what to do.
Well, I think universities are going to narrow down on how their students are doing. I think you're going to see more information, and I hope that it's more transparent on how their students are doing. I think I don't know that we can, like, have bureaucracy around who's allowed to take a test and who's not, because someone might feel like their life experience has prepared them to take a test, and they might pass the practice on the first time.
Now,
I don't think that we're getting in someone's way.
I don't know that. I don't know if I get that. I mean, I'm not just trying to be argumentative. I'm certainly not. But again, my experience with the bar exam, you're not allowed to sit for the bar until you've done certain things. You're not allowed to take medical boards until you've done certain things. You're not allowed to take a journeyman electrician's test until you've done certain things. So I don't know that there's any reason why we can't say, hey, listen, don't screw up the numbers by taking the test when you're not ready. Do it after you've done these things, and then we'll really know whether it was your education or what.
Right. They're expensive. I think they're about $75. So to take a test that you don't think you're prepared for is, you know, kind of surprising. But I guess to see whether you passed or not. I have reached out and asked if AIC, the Commission on Higher Education, if they would research. I would like to know not only how each of the universities are doing with their pass rate on practice, but I would like to know separately how these alternative programs are doing as they have to take the practice.
Yeah.
I'd like to see how both sets of students are doing, and I've asked them to look for that data.
That's good stuff. All right, Terry, more to come on this. I think it's something we got to crack the code on, but I appreciate you making some time today to try and shed some light on it. I'm not sure I'm less confused, but at the very least, we had a good discussion.
Well, I think that's how our conversations go sometimes. Yeah. But I know I get told I get way too deep in the weeds, but I did want to understand the issue. I think Arthur's right. When you pay good money, you want to be prepared when you get out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know with literacy, we've not found that to be true. We're still doing, you know, professional development to teach the science of reading.
Yeah.
And that's why we're requiring, I believe, starting this next year, finally, that we will be able to require the foundations of reading as the test and not the practice.
I hope so.
And so that's another thing we're looking for, is that we want to make sure we're using the best test to make sure our teachers are prepared. And maybe that's practice, but maybe it's EdTPA. So there are some other choices out there we might could require.
Well, whatever the case may be, we need to have quality teachers teaching our kids and get those education numbers up all the way around the state, because that's what's best for our kids. But Terry Collins, thanks for your time.
You.
Thanks for your service to the state, and we'll have you back on again sometime soon.
I look forward to it. Have a great afternoon.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
All right, Boomer, I'll tell you what, man. Perfect timing. Let's do this. Go ahead and take the break right now. We'll come back, and I'll try to shed some more light on this. That was an interesting conversation. I kind of went down some rabbit trails with her I didn't expect. Like, I didn't expect to hear you can just take the test whenever you feel like it, which could be skewing the numbers. I get that. But then again, why? Why don't they have practice tests? Go take the practice test. That can't be that hard to create a practice test that you're allowed to take instead of taking the real test and just failing it. Interesting. Well, they're the ones teaching our kids. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.